shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
World Hockey Report, Cody Jansen. Follow me on Twitter at Janner on PXP. Our guest of the day, Devin Dalton, brought to you by SeatGeek. Best place to buy tickets. Go to SeatGeek. Use promo code WHR. $20 off your first purchase. Promo code WHR on SeatGeek. Devin from Wild Takes at 10K. First off, let's air this out right now. I haven't got an invite back since I said the Oilers were going to go further in the playoffs than the Wild. Is there some beef going on?
There's always beef. Thank you for having me on despite the beef, but there is always beef. I'll say it here on your show. And then when we have you back on in probably sometime in early October, I will say it again there. You were right. The Oilers went farther than the Wild. So congratulations to you. Congratulations to the Oilers. And, it's all me. All you. Yeah, that's true.
Without me, they don't get to the Western Conference final.
That's true. It really is. And now that the reports are coming out that Nathan MacKinnon is signing a new contract that's going to be, quote, not single digits, they're probably never making it back that far again, because the Avalanche are just going to keep him around somehow. So that he's going to continue to be a thorn in the Oilers' side. I see that happening for apparently a couple of years, which is
terrifying. Except he'd be a second liner on the Oilers, so... I don't know. I mean, decent player, just won a cup. He's no Cale Makar either.
Holy shit. This is why we get along.
And this is, you know, World Hockey Report's version of Wild Takes right now. No, we got to talk Minnesota Wild, though, for a second, because they are somewhat interesting. I'll give you that. You make the big splash last season. You bring in Fleury. Cam Talbot's wife gets all pissed off and all that stuff. So it's been an interesting offseason for you. Kaprizov, thankfully, he's not in jail or held hostage anywhere. I mean, is there a little bit of buzz around the team right now? Because it seems like they were building some momentum from last season.
Yeah, absolutely. The team, I don't know if the team last year, they set records in like every capacity. Like Kevin Fiala broke the team scoring record, and he was like 25. He was like 25 points behind being the top scorer on the team last year. So like the team broke every record imaginable except, honestly, I think it was every record. And then I think Kaprizov just tied the, no, he got it. Never mind. Anyway, the team set a whole bunch of records, including points records. So like naturally there is going to be, you know, we do lose Kevin Fiala, but we've got some young and exciting prospects coming in. Marco Rossi being the big one. It is hard to say. I don't necessarily think that they're a better team than they were last year. But I also don't think that they're a worse team. And the thing is, the Central Division, pretty much every team stayed the same or got worse. Like the division is not a harder division than it was last year. And, you know, last year it wasn't exactly as hard as we all thought it was going to be in the end. There was obviously the Stanley Cup champions Avalanche. But outside of that, the division was like solid. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Maybe Dallas is better when they realize that Ottinger is actually a starting caliber goalie. Maybe that makes them better. Maybe Nino Niederreiter and Mikhail Granlund being reunited in Nashville makes them a better team. But I think generally speaking, the entire Central Division, for the most part, stayed about where they were the year before. And then a couple of exceptions were like Chicago went from bad to worse. Didn't think that it was possible that they could get any worse, and here they are. I don't know. We'll see. But the Wild, I think overall, you know, I don't think that they're going to break another record. I really don't. I would love to see it happen. I would love nothing more than for Marco Rossi to come in and break all the rookie records that Kirill Kaprizov set just 2 years ago. I would love to see that line with Matt Boldy and presumably Freddie Gaudreau, maybe Tyson Jost, TBD. I would love to see that line be as good as the Freddie Goudreau, Kevin Fiala, Matt Boldy line from last year. I would love to see Matt Boldy keep playing at the pace that he was playing at, of just shy of a point a game as a rookie. Those would all be terrific things. I'm optimistic that it could happen, but it's not something that I think is definitely going to happen. Let's put it that way.
Well, you talked about divisions, and are you a little optimistic now that the Pacific division's better than the Central? And, you know,
it's been a long time since you've been able to say that. How excited are you?
I've been saying that forever, just like the Canadian division was the best in the COVID season. But
I'm just going to lie to the people now, I see. Okay.
Fact check. I would never. Never do something so absurd. I don't know. I don't think the Central's as intimidating though. Like you kind of mentioned it. Like Nashville doesn't scare anyone. You know, they're going to make a stupid decision and put Askarov as their goalie of the future too. And like, that's going to flop for them. Dallas has a goaltender and nothing else. Jason Robertson's not bad. Nothing else.
He's good.
Actually, Heiskanen's good. So they got two players and a goaltender.
Heiskanen's good. Yeah, that's it.
That's sad. Even those are the guys.
When your owner is going on any radio, podcast, TV show platform that will have him and just
that guy's an
on
ass.
Tyler Seguin and like anybody, whenever your owner is like doing these like tacit, like, oh,
they're
yeah,
hit
like,
pieces.
Our stars are overpaid. It's like, well, who the fuck paid them? You, boss? Like, come on now.
Oh, I know. And that guy is just a piece of work.
Yeah, he's the worst. It's like there's a thing.
Colorado's fine, but they don't have a goaltender. Like they just lost Darcy Kemper, so I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. You saw how valuable. Like, is Francois actually the guy, or was he just good enough to get him by in the playoffs? I think he was just good enough. Because I still don't think that they beat Tampa in a 7-game series if they don't have Darcy Kemper.
I half agree with that. I think that Francois is more of a stopgap goalie than anything, but I do think that the rest of the team was that much better than the beaten up and worn down Tampa team that I think they probably still would have won, but I don't think it would have been as convincing, I think is probably the right word there. That being said, I am weirdly high on Gorgiev because he got traded there, right? Alexander Gorgiev.
He stinks.
I've seen him play
against the Oilers probably 4 times. I feel like every time they play the Rangers in the past decade, Gorgiev has played, and this guy can't stop a beach ball if McDavid's shooting it.
I mean, in fairness, everybody in the league can't stop McDavid except for
okay,
the
well,
Wilds.
Then Darnell Nurse. Darnell Nurse could score on him with a football. You know, like it's... He's not...
I mean, you are talking to the world's number one Darnell Nurse apologist, so... Let's strike three here.
Darnell Nurse could be the most polarizing player in the world, even with World Hockey Report too. Like Adam's harsh on him. Tyler's a little indifferent. I still think he's good. I don't think he's exactly a $9 million player.
No.
And then you talk to like some former NHLers, and I literally had this conversation 2 days ago with a former NHLer who was like, Darnell Nurse is the most overpaid defenseman in the world. And it's hilarious how polarizing this guy is, where it's like clearly his teammates love him and clearly he's doing something right to get a contract like that.
He's a good player. He's a very good player who can absolutely grind up some minutes. He's a team guy. From what I understand, he is terrific in the room. Is he a $9 million player? No. $6.5-7 million. Sure. I wouldn't.
I said seven and a half would be the number you would smile at.
Travel the world and watch sports with Sports Travel Tours. How about the English Premier League? Get up close at one of the F1's Grand Prix from Monaco to Singapore and beyond. To the NFL packages, the games in London, and to any across the U.S. Watch the Oilers and Flames with road trip packages to Vegas and beyond. Or if you're a hockey nut like us, the Spangler Cup is a must-see event. Watch Canada this December in Davos at our favorite championship of the year. For details and more, visit sportstraveltours.com today.
Get ready to win with Billy's Smelling Salts. Billy's Smelling Salts are for gamers, athletes, and competitors alike who want to get in the zone. Us at World Hockey Report teamed up with Billy's, and if you use the promo code WHR when checking out, you'll save yourself some money. The highest quality smelling salts in the game and at the best price point if you use the promo code WHR on Billy's. Billy's Smelling Salts. Get ready to win.
If you saw 7.5 by Darnell Nurse, you'd be like, yeah, that's a damn good deal.
And is he nine even, or he's like
9.25.
Yeah, 9.25. Yeah. I don't hate that. It's a little much, don't get me wrong. But like, when you look at all of the other like cap bullshit things that the Oilers have gotten themselves into, it's not exactly like Darnell Nurse is the problem. He's the third or fourth best player on the team and he gets paid appropriately. Turns out that when your best defenseman and your top two forwards are making a lot of money, you have to be smart at handing out what contracts are going into your bottom six and your bottom pairing. And that is a thing that apparently no Oilers GM in the last 15 years is, I don't think I would feel comfortable calling them a smart bottom pairing, bottom six role filler.
Yeah, they've struggled with that. That's a nice way to put it. Okay, back to the Wild. I got to ask one more about them. Are you a little concerned about the goaltending? Like, Fleury's not getting any younger here.
Marc-Andre Fleury has been one of my favorite goalies my entire life. And so,
and Kapanen's gone.
So it's weird to think that a year ago, the Wild come into the season with a tandem of Cam Talbot as your 1A and Kaapo Kähkönen as your 1B. And now, less than a year later, both of those guys are gone. That part is a little weird feeling. I love Marc-Andre Fleury, unapologetic about that. The man was coming off of a Vezina season, and we traded for him in the middle of the year, in which he was playing in front of behind a terrible, terrible.
If he's playing Blackhawks in front of him, that's a bigger concern.
Yeah, they were that Blackhawks team. It cannot be overstated how terrible they were last year. And when he came to Minnesota, he was better, but he was not like Vezina Marc-Andre Fleury. And you know, the coaching staff really committed to the like one on one off, so they would just hard alternate every game, no matter what happened, and then. I understand the decision. I disagree with it, but I understand the decision because if you watch that last month and a half of the season, Cam Talbot was clearly the better goalie. He was more in a rhythm. The team understood how to play in front of him a little bit more because Marc-Andre Fleury has always been kind of an athletic, divey goalie, very flashy, very fun, but he doesn't control his rebounds as well as Cam Talbot does. And the team was very clearly used to a nice, like, we're going to force the shots in from the outside. We're going to force shots from, like, the circle. We're going to keep everything out of the high danger zone so that all you have to do is just swallow the puck. And that was something that Cam Talbot was pretty good at, and that's something that Marc-Andre Fleury is not the best at. And I'll just be honest, that is what it is. I think with an offseason of understanding, you know, how that can change, how they all play together, I think he can be a pretty good goalie still for this Minnesota Wild. The defense is still better than most of the defenses he's played for in his later years. I don't think, you know, we all said this 2 years ago and then he goes out and wins a Vezina. I don't know if I'd say he's washed, but I'm not expecting a Vezina caliber season. I'm expecting before the Cam Talbot trade where we brought in Philip Gustafson, I think they were ideally hoping for another like 50-50 split. Like each guy takes 41 games. I don't think the coaching staff trusts the new guy, Gustafson. I don't think they trust him as much to do a full 41-41 split, but maybe it'll be like Flower plays, I don't know, 50 to 55 games and Gustafson's in like the 30-35 range. I wouldn't hate that. I do worry that he'll get a little bit tired out because, as you said, he's not getting any younger. But I think with an offseason and a full training camp where the team can start to understand more specifically how he plays, because that's the other thing down the stretch, the Wild played more like after the trade deadline, the Wild played more games than anybody else. They practiced one time in that entire stretch, one time. That's it. And that includes the playoffs. Recipe for disaster. I think when you come in and you're able to practice, you're able to get a little bit of chemistry with the new goalie and you see what the new kid can do too, who, you know, let's be honest, he was playing on a pretty bad Ottawa team. I'm not going to necessarily judge him. I think Jeff Merrick has a really good thing where he says he doesn't judge a goalie until he's played 100 games. And I think Gustafson's played like 60. So like
you say, he's played 99. I'm not judging him yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think he's played around 60. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's up there, but it's not like he's played enough that like we have a sample size. We kind of know what to expect, but not so much that like he can't grow, develop, and we'll see if he looks any better behind a defense that's like competent.
Okay, I got two more hockey questions for you. Quick ones.
Let's do it.
Who's your breakout team this season?
As much as I just shit on them, I think the Ottawa Senators are going to be really fun this year.
They've added some nice really pieces. Do. Who's your breakout player?
Oh, man. That's a good one. I really like what LA is building. I don't know if I would call them a breakout team because they were a playoff team last year. I really like Anaheim, but all of the guys that are going to like pop there are, I don't think they're a playoff team yet, but I think that they're going to be a much improved team. And all the guys that I would highlight there, everybody kind of already knows.
Well, again, if you I guess know I can them, be, a, can, still can, be a can I be a player.
Can I be a homer and say 100%. Matt Boldy?
I love it. I love it. I think Boldy was a good player, as you said. You know, he's close to a point per game, and everyone knows his game is still going to improve.
Yeah, and so he already has a ton of chemistry with Marco Rossi, and the two of them specifically are going to get a lot of time on the power play this year. And I can't imagine a world where the power play is as bad as it was last year. So like that's kind of the thing with like that first line of the Wild's first line of Hartman, Kaprizov, Zuccarello, like they scored pretty much all of our power play points, but like most of Hartman's 30 some odd goals, Hartman got like 32, 33 goals. And I would say like 25 of them plus were even strength. I think that is going to change, but I think that the total number is going to stay about the same. And I think Matt Boldy is going to get himself a couple of power play points to solidify his breakout year.
Okay, we'll leave it on this here. How overrated are the Vikings?
The Vikings terrify me. I am so afraid. The Vikings, I've been watching this team since 1998, which is when I was 6 years old. And it was the year that many people remember because it is immortalized in history, where this unbelievable juggernaut of an offensive weapon team goes and they're just beating the Atlanta Falcons. And then they stop beating the Atlanta Falcons and they missed a chip shot to send them to the Super Bowl. And ever since then, that was the first time that I really understood like pain as a sports fan, as a 6 year old. And that was also the first time that I realized that the Vikings exist solely to hurt people. That being said, in the 20 some odd, the 25 almost years since then, 24 years since then, the Vikings will consistently, a bad Vikings team can and will beat the Packers. So I think that this team will be solid. I don't love that they went from being a projected 8.5 wins to 12.5 wins just off of their performance from week one. I don't buy that at all. So I guess I will say they are 30% overrated. I think they're probably a 9 or a 10 win team. And you know what? That should be good enough to win the NFC North, because it looks like nobody's going to be very good this year.
So you just heard their wild take. The Bears will be better than the Vikings. Straight from Devin's mouth.
That is not what I said. God damn it.
Devin Dalton, everyone from 10K Takes, Wild Takes 10K. Go download the podcast. Probably up there for, you know, shirt of the year when we come down to the World Hockey Report Awards. But hey, I appreciate you taking the time, man. Enjoy the rest of summer. Can't wait to watch some hockey.
Absolutely. Hockey season's right around the corner, and I'm so stoked. Cheers, brother. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.